made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it. Yep.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nails. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. Too cold to start a fire, I'm burning diesel, burning dinosaur bones. I'll take the river down to Stillwater and ride a pack of dogs. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights, when the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore, I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run.
The Man in Black, Johnny Cash. Soundgarden cover, Rusty Cage, of course. Yesterday was Johnny Cash's birthday, or would have been his birthday. That was the 26th. This is the 27th of February, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato, and this is MediaMonarchy.com, coming to you live from the Portland Radio Authority. It's a little early here. It's about 8:30. And we're calling this the B-side of episode 112. Of course, just trying to stay ahead. Trying to keep on top of all that's going down. And we've got a lot to go over. Not just here on the B-side, but also on episode 113 coming up. So we're going to start where we finished on episode 112. And that was, of course, that Geronimo's kin are still suing Skull and Bones over the remains. Specifically, Geronimo's skull and bones. Interestingly enough, and again, this new lawsuit from Geronimo's kin coincided with the 100th anniversary of his death. So dovetailing and going along with all of that, now from the AFP, and this is posted Monday, February 23rd, U.S. lawmakers honor Geronimo in the midst of Skull and Bones' lawsuit. The U.S. House of Representatives on Monday approved by voice vote a measure honoring legendary Apache warrior Geronimo's bravery 100 years after his death. The non-binding resolution honors his life, quote, his extraordinary bravery and his commitment to the defense of his homeland, his people, and Apache ways of life. Geronimo, known as Goyathle, that's G-O-Y-A-T-H-L-A-Y, with links to do the research, Geronimo, known as Goyathle in the language of Chirahua Apache, died in 1909 at nearly 90 years of age at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. He had been held as a prisoner of war for more than 20 years after surrendering to the U.S. military on the understanding he would be allowed to return to his homeland and people. The resolution also recognizes the 100th anniversary of the death of Geronimo as a time of reflection of his deeds on behalf of his people. On February 17th, 20 of Geronimo's descendants filed suit in a U.S. federal court seeking to free Geronimo, his remains, funerary objects, and spirit from 100 years of imprisonment at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, the Yale University campus at New Haven, Connecticut, and wherever else they may be found. The remains would be returned to Geronimo's wilderness birthplace in the western United States for a true Apache burial, a key facet of the Native American tribe's culture. So again, that story's from the French agency press, but there are many links in there, in addition to the actual House bill, I believe it's H.R. 132, with a link to GovTrack for you, and again, Wikipedia to learn more about the history, as well as Filiast and PostChronicle.com. One that snuck by me, it may have been up by the time we covered this at the end of last week's episode on the 20th, but CNN got in on the act, so we have still more on this new lawsuit, and that, of course, is the lawsuit about Bush's secret society. Of course, Prescott, Poppy, W, Skull and Bones, sued for the return of Geronimo's remains.
The tale of Apache warrior Geronimo and his brave fight against the U.S. cavalry has become legendary. But now his remains, and in particular his skull, are the focus of a tangled legal case. His family believes that the answer lies one Ivy League school's secret society. Deborah Farrick is here with more on this fascinating story for us. Hey, Deb.
Hey there. Well, you know, here for decades, the story was thought to be a rumor that members of the secret society at Yale, stationed at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, after enlisting in World War I, stole the skull, femur, and saddle bit of the great Geronimo, who was buried there. Well, Geronimo's family wants to know the truth, and they want to have a proper burial befitting such a hero.
Geronimo hanged for murder.
Just his name, Geronimo, conjures images like these in an American legend. A fierce Apache leader and his warriors, greatly outnumbered, fighting off the U.S. cavalry in an attempt to save his people and their way of life.
And eventually, surrounded and outmanned, outgunned, he is convinced to surrender.
Geronimo died a prisoner of war, his body buried in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Now, 100 years later, his family is suing to get his remains back.
After a while, you know, it hurts you inside.
Harlan Geronimo is the warrior's great-grandson. He and other descendants are suing Yale University and a secret society known as the Order of Skull and Bones, claiming Geronimo's skull was stolen back in 1918 by Yale students, members of the secret order. One of the alleged grave robbers, Yalie Prescott Bush, the father and grandfather of Presidents 41 and 43.
When you desecrate a grave like of this nature, you know, you upset the spirit. And sooner or later, you know, the spirit will come after you.
For decades, members called Bonesmen dismissed the suggestion as a hoax. But a Bonesman's letter written in 1918, discovered 2 years ago at Yale, suggests otherwise. Quote, the skull of the worthy Geronimo the Terrible exhumed. Now, safe inside, the T. T is believed short for the tomb, the Bonesman's private club.
I spoke with several bonesmen who told me that inside the tomb there is a glass display case containing a skull, and the bonesmen have always called it Geronimo.
Author Alexandra Robbins wrote a book on the secret order.
If it is found that Geronimo's skull is really in there, that's a crime.
Geronimo's descendants have also sued President Obama and Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, hoping to recover Geronimo's remains at Fort Sill.
He died as a prisoner of war, so he was not free, and he was not free to be buried in the old customary ways that the Apache would have been buried at that time.
Now, Geronimo's great-grandson says he's willing to take a DNA test. He and his family want Yale University and Skull and Bones members to tell what they know. We attempted to reach Skull and Bones. No one returned our calls. Yale says the university does not have Geronimo's remains and that it does not speak for the secret society. It's a lot of unanswered questions.
And have Yale know that they don't happen.
Well, there you go. But they're looking into it. Technically, they subpoena and possibly see whether, in fact, anybody will say, oh, yeah, well, that happens to be the skull, but unlikely.
Steph Ferris, thank you.
There's so much to go into in the world of Skull and Bones, but we, of course, don't have the time to do it here. One thing, of course, Alexandra Robbins always gets the coverage for her Skull and Bones book, Secrets of the Tomb, I believe. But the far superior book is from Chris Milligan's Oregon-based Trine Day Press and their fantastic tome, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. And again, you should do the research. You should look at the history of the Russell Trust and maybe how all these guys made their money. They made it from God. Gold, oil, and drugs. So those are the latest updates I have for you that we went over last week on Geronimo and Skull and Bones, and even now a House resolution honoring him 100 years after his death. Now we're going to jump to the other update and a retraction, if you will, when we covered, of course, one, the hundreds of stations that went ahead and made the digital switch anyway, on February 17th, the very end of the day at midnight. Along with that was the story about the camera and microphone hidden in the converter box. It's a hoax. So we got the update from Threat Level. Hidden cameras in DTV converters? Question mark. YouTube hoax taps conspiracy fears. And we'll preface all this with what I have written at the top of this post. As I said on the episode, on the show that we covered this, it was either the B-side of 111 or episode 112. Even if this was a hoax, the reality is there. And we'll go over that once we go through this hoax. But this hoax can now be used, of course, as a straw man to attack and dismiss the whole idea of the pervasive panopticon. So, there is no surveillance, nothing to see here, go back to work. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Ever wonder what the government's really up to paying for all those digital TV converter boxes? Last week, a Spokane, Washington man claimed he'd discovered the horrifying truth and he produced a YouTube video to prove it. In a 90-second video that's popping up on tinfoil hat sites everywhere, yes, that includes me, 28-year-old software engineer Adam Chronister is seen cracking open his government-subsidized Magnavox converter and revealing to the world the tiny video camera and microphone hidden inside. The video instantly went viral, tapping into a current of DTV conspiracy theory that's been building online since the government started issuing $40 converter box coupons last summer. Last week, Chronister's video was promoted on the conspiracy-friendly Alex Jones radio show, and as of Monday, the clip had chalked up about 200,000 views, 850 comments, many skeptical, but an equal number expressing alarm. This is nuts. I had an odd feeling when the government planned to pay for everyone to get one of these, wrote one commenter. Another one said, yep, that's a camera and a mic. Holy shit, I'm taking my DVR apart tonight. In an interview with Threat Level, Aaron Chronister admits the whole thing was a hoax, concocted in about 5 minutes with a hot glue gun and parts from an old cell phone. The reaction surprised even him. I was listening to the Alex Jones show and I heard him mention the video. I just about fell out of the shower. Chronister says the video is partially true. A friend really did share the rumor about hidden cameras in the DTV converters. I originally opened up the device with the intention of proving him wrong, at which point the thought popped into my head, wouldn't it be funny if I proved him right instead? Observers in more technical forums like BroadbandReports.com have dissected the video and easily discerned that it's a hoax, while, well, with some taking apart their own converter boxes to provide proof. But even as the posts debunking the clip roll into his YouTube comments, some remain convinced of its veracity. They're still pivotal defending the video, Chronister says. As a sometimes believer of conspiracy theories himself, Chronister's sympathetic. But critics charge that Chronister's prank only provides a smokescreen for genuine government wrongdoing. He's more worried about a different kind of backlash. I've seen videos go viral before, but I never thought some stupid little video I did would get popular like that, he says. I'm waiting for the Magnavox police to come and haul me off or something. Is there nothing to see here? There are many links in there. And again, as always, check out Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero Lounge, the two episodes about the coming DTV switch, Panopticon 1 and 2. But if we just glance at some of the flashbacks, of course, we can link back to the original story. Did you go digital last night? You should open your converter box. But we had Comcast cameras to start watching you. That's from March of 2008. And, of course, just back in January, Apple files patent for a camera hidden behind the screen, not the iSight camera at the top of your screen. So again, even though this is a hoax, the realities are there. And they're coming. Advertising, watching you, biometrics. And again, it's all normalized. We already saw it in Minority Report. A quick note now on the latest episode of Outside the Box from my man Alex Ansari right here in Portland, Oregon. Episode 190 of Outside the Box, broadcast on February 19th. Alex interviews author and visionary Jay Widener, sacredmysteries.com, about the mysteries surrounding 2012. Some of the other topics they discuss are the galactic alignment, the magnetic field, the sun, the cross of Hende, and the Mayan calendar. There are links for you to read more about galactic alignment and the cross of Hende. But we're not going to listen to a clip, but of course it's there, and I always post up new episodes from Alex Ansari, both the television show and his radio show on Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. But again, more and more, from Glenn Beck and Ron Paul. As we said, as I said, who's this we? That someone like Glenn Beck has either had his old shit moment and he's really trying to spill what's going down the best way he can and still keep his job on faux news, wherever he is. Or he's a mockingbird kind of shill, kind of using the language of the so-called patriot community. And again, we're getting ratcheted up. We're being riled up. The ideas of riots and the greatest depression are there. And of course, we cover them week in, week out. But I think what we try and do on MediaMonarchy.com is look at what they're saying, listen to what they're saying, put it in context with everything else, and try and make a little sense out of it. Ron Paul says they're working on one world government. So this is again, Ron Paul on Glenn Beck Show. Yes, it is on Faux News. And this clip, thankfully, is from Earth2Obama.org. Ron Paul, they're working on one world government.
We have a special guest, Ron Paul, joining us here in just a second. I want to play a piece. In fact, hello, Congressman, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
Very good. I want to play a piece for the American people, something that was said at Columbia University at a dinner on Friday. Finally got a hold of the audio and the video of this. This is George Soros and what he said on Friday on how bad things are at Columbia University.
The seriousness of the crisis cannot be exaggerated. The closest comparison that I can think of is actually the collapse of the Soviet system.
Okay. So George Soros is now, and I've got something on this tomorrow, America, that you just don't want to miss. The collapse of the Soviet system is how serious this is. What scares me about this, Congressman, is I know there are people all around the world that are licking their chops at, well, wait a minute, if things collapse with capitalism, we're going to have to restart it. Can you tell me, you know, what is the G20 doing? What is happening around the world with Gordon Brown, who will be in Congress next week, that says, hey, I think we should have a new deal, but a global new deal?
Yeah, they're frantic and they're panicking, and you have the central banks and the G7, I'm sure, are meeting constantly to plan the next monetary structure. We had a major structure formed in Bretton Woods in 1944. It collapsed in 1971. We've had the dollar reserve standard from 1971 up to last year. That's collapsed. It's gone. It's done. And they have to have a new monetary standard. And they're planning behind the scenes. We're not entitled to know anything about it. Under the law, they don't have to tell us a thing. But believe me, they're planning. They're panicky because they don't have an easy answer, but there are major changes going on. I've argued this case for years that we were working on destroying our whole system the way we were operating.
Okay, so Congressman, I mean, no offense, because I think you're the one guy who has had this right from the very beginning. But the problem is, if you say stuff like this, it sounds like a conspiracy theory. And I can't get, I mean, there's nobody in the media that is reporting this. There's nobody that's talking about this stuff, but it only makes common sense. If people know that the end is coming of the system that we have, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that we're all going to, you know, cats and dogs are going to be sleeping with each other, etc. So what I'm saying is there's going to be a change coming. Rupert Murdoch said that nations will be redefined in this period. You know that people at the global level are looking at it and saying, okay, what's it going to look like? Where can we find out, where do we start to look?
Well, you should look to the Congress, but they don't pay much attention either. And there will be a realignment, and there's a struggle going on with us who believe that we should have national sovereignty. We should be out of the UN, out of the World Bank, out of the IMF, and no world government. But that is the movement that we're going in. That is the direction that we're going in. But others are planning to go one step further. They weren't satisfied with Bretton Woods. They weren't satisfied with the dollar standard. Now they want to probably modify the special drawing rights of the IMF, which they tried and didn't fail, but they want to control capital and they want to control the natural resources of the world. So, and they're not nationalistic at all. They believe in world government, and they're more out in the open now than they were 25 years ago.
Here's the problem. I mean, everybody will say, "Oh, that Glenn Beck, he's a conservative. He just loved the Bush administration." No, I didn't. And I'm while I am a businessman myself, and I like big business, I don't have a problem with Walmart. I do have a problem with people that look at our country as a market. And that's what's happening. These global corporations are just looking at people as consumers and a market, so they don't give a flying crap about our Constitution or anything else. What's good for business? How do you stop that?
I think there's a lot of truth to that, but I concentrate on making sure nobody is big because they get a special benefit, either the bankers or the corporation, the international corporations, because inevitably they get benefits. They get tax subsidies of all sorts. They get contracts, and they are protected, and they get all kinds of benefits from government. When you're big for that reason, let's argue that Walmart got big because they satisfied the consumer. We don't want to come down hard on bigness per se. Bigness in capitalism is good. Yeah. As long as they got there by the consumer voting confidence in that particular business.
Yeah. Congressman, thank you very much. By the way, America, I mean, I hope I'm nuts. I mean, really, you've never met anybody who hopes he's wrong more than I am, or I do. the solutions are going to be presented as gigantic and global, and the answer is going to be local. The answer is going to come from you and your local community and your state, not the globe. That's where a nightmare is coming.
Glenn Beck, Ron Paul say they're working on one world government. And there's a lot to dissect in that clip. There's a lot good and a lot bad. But one thing maybe I will say before we move on is, of course, Glenn Beck was referencing Ghostbusters with human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Bill Murray might be right, though. Posted at the bottom of this post from Reflux the Chemist, that's reflux1.blogspot.com, makes reference to something I don't have posted up. I do have the video, I don't have the context. We're going to hear a mention in a minute of how, again, Ron Paul was grilling Bernanke at a recent hearing. The funny context is on CNBC, they go to the clip because they think they're cutting immediately to Bernanke run his mouth. They cut too soon and watch and listen to the opening statement from the Honorable Dr. Ron Paul. And they all squirm and they can't handle it. And so they cut away and then come back when Helicopter Ben starts to talk his garbage about the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor does it have reserves. So thanks to Reflux the Chemist for posting up that comment. The other bit, the other clip that we're going to go into from Ron Paul, Real Time with Ron Paul, America's War on Drugs Must End. This from Raw Story, Raw Replay, as well as links to Huffington Post, Liberty Maven, and more. Congressman Ron Paul is the most conservative, grandfatherly man to ever be admired by America's marijuana enthusiasts. On last Friday's episode of HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, he reminded those who may have been suffering from an impaired short-term memory at that late hour why exactly they should like him. Speaking live from Clute, Texas, the libertarian-leaning Republican did what few other members of Congress will and openly called for the United States war on drugs to be abolished. To be abolished. Have you heard anything even remotely approaching that from the Obamasiah?
And I say you have to cut and balance the budget, but we're spending $1 trillion on overseas maintenance of our empire. I say bring all our troops home, quit spending this money, save hundreds of billions of dollars,
yeah, I agree
cut
with
the
that.
Deficit, spend of that money, right. Selling money at home, but you can't keep spending money.
Right. If we want to get serious, we have to really get serious, which would be, I agree, ending things like our overseas empire. What about, when FDR came into office in 1933, one of the first things he did was repeal prohibition. He said, we can't afford this anymore. Well, we have prohibition.
That didn't cause a depression.
What's that?
That didn't cause a depression.
No, but when he was making radical changes, he said, look, we're serious now. We're going to get serious, and people like liquor. Well, in this country, people like pot. If we ended that prohibition, that would be a giant boon of money.
I don't like pot, but I hate the drug war, so I would repeal all the prohibition. But I wouldn't even bother taxing it. I would just say that people have the right in a free country to make important decisions on their own lives. If they want to make mistakes, they can. They just can't come crawling to the government to be bailed out or taken care of if they get sick. But I believe in freedom of choice in all that we do, as long as the individual never hurts anybody else. So that means I would get rid of all the federal laws. I would dispose with the drug war. We're spending tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars on this. And then we march into places like California, override state laws, arrest sick people, and put them in prisons. It makes no sense whatsoever.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
trans donor. So, let me ask you. You say you don't like pot, but, you know, it kind of ended up where you look like you did. But, okay. So the Republican Party is about as popular as peanut butter right now. And they're the ones who are arguing for this fiscal conservative approach. But, you know, do you guys have any credibility? You're the ones who ran up, you know, a couple of wars on the credit card and the drug entitlement thing for the Medicare. You know, I mean, that's where the money goes. It seems like in my lifetime, Bush, the second Bush, and Reagan, these were the guys who broke the budget. Clinton's the one who left it. Okay, well, how did your party get to be the one who's preaching about fiscal conservatism?
Well, they preach it, but they didn't practice it. So they had they have absolutely no credibility. I hope I have a little bit. But, you know, the Democrats haven't been in charge too long yet, but they're going to lose credibility if they expand the war. What about sending 17,000 troops into Afghanistan? I mean, that's not the way to have change. I want the troops all to come home. I don't want to expand the war in Afghanistan. But we need to do that, or you'll lose credibility, too, as all the Democrats will.
Right. I'm with you on that one. Thank you. Congressman Ron Paul, everybody.
Pointing out, calling out the bullshit hypocrisy of both phony parties, whether they're blowing billions on a failed drug war. But again, that even falls into that whole scenario, as if it were meant to be won. Oh, they just screwed it up. Well, they just messed up Katrina. Oh, they just messed up the war. Oh, they just messed up 9/11. Oh, they just messed up the economy. So, to say, oh, it's a failed war on drugs, is only partly true. It's a massive success to the underworld. Which, again, the gang and the government, there's no difference. They bring in the drugs. Ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. So, fortunately, again, Ron Paul calling out the phony left-right paradigm, whether we're doing the drug war thing, doing the war of terror thing, it's all fake. Dovetailing with all of this, California lawmaker introduces bill to legalize marijuana. This from the Associated Press. A state legislator is reviving the debate about legalizing marijuana as a way of raising money for cash-strapped state and local governments. Assemblyman Tom Ammiano, A-M-M-I-A-N-O, and I believe that's TomAmiano.com, a San Francisco Democrat, introduced a bill last Monday that, if approved by the California legislature, would put pot on the same legal footing as alcohol. Adults over the age of 21 would be allowed to buy it, and driving under the influence of marijuana would be prohibited. Under Ammiano's proposal, which has been endorsed by some law enforcement officials, pot would be taxed at a rate of $50 an ounce and bring an estimated $1 billion into state coffers. In 1996, California became the first state to legalize medical marijuana. And fortunately, MSNBC has a clip, could pot fix California's budget?
I think here in California, we understand that $14 billion is something that can't be blown off, that the state itself deserves to have a piece of it.
That's why San Francisco Assemblyman Tom Ammiano is introducing legislation that would tax and regulate marijuana. He's not talking about medical marijuana. He's talking about pot used socially, just like beer and wine.
The revenue impact of this proposal, we believe, will generate over $1.3 billion.
$990 million would come from a $50 per ounce levy. $350 million would come from sales tax revenue.
Marijuana prohibition has failed.
Marijuana is California's top cash crop, according to federal government statistics, valued at $14 billion in 2006. And it's a political hot potato. Medical marijuana has been legal in California since 1996. Lawmakers tried drug reform legislation in 2004, but that push never got off the ground. We asked Hastings Law Professor Evan Lee what it would take to get such a controversial proposition passed this time.
It would take President Obama and Eric Holder to decide this is what we're going to do.
That's because the federal government can override state law.
And as long as the federal prosecutors have made a decision that they're going to go after people, that they're really going to enforce the Controlled Substances Act, there's really nothing the states can do.
There's really nothing the states can do. And we're seeing that issue rise as well. And we're going to get into that on the next episode. Tom Amiano looks and sounds really familiar to me. I haven't figured out from where. I've either seen him in documentaries about medical marijuana and otherwise hemp. Perhaps it was Doug Benson's Super High Me, where they visit a lot of medical marijuana dispensaries. He's also a San Francisco Democrat. Something in my head connects him to Jonestown and or Harvey Milk, but I'm not sure. I'll have to do some checking. Some of the links in there to theexaminer.com, gay.com, and tomamiano.com. Again, California lawmaker introduces bill to legalize marijuana. Another positive drug story. We've now reached the point on this B-side of episode 112 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's February 27th, 2009. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of MediaMonarchy.com, recording live at the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. I had to do it. I had to post up what I called a news purge. And that's, of course, when my bookmarked links overflow, and there's no way I'm going to be able to post them all up and flesh them all out and give them the coverage and the attention that it all deserves. So I just post them all up as headlines, and we're going to blast through them right now. Again, there is so much swirling around that I can't not post the links, or at least post the headlines to some of these things. So there's actually, and again, talk about not doing justice to a lot of these stories. There are a lot of really important stories in here. So I implore you to check out the news purge and hit some of those links. Hit most of those links. Hit all of the links. First in the news purge, 9/11 updates. Cousin of alleged 9/11 hijacker exposed as Israeli spy. That is from InfoWars, Prison Planet, Propaganda Matrix. We also have an unlikely place for a hit piece brought to my attention from 9/11 blogger Marie Claire, the women's magazine, marieclaire.com. There's an article, there's a column called Desperately Seeking Approval. And this girl basically talks about how she dated this guy who was into those idiotic 9/11 conspiracy things. And I even went to his little truth meetings, and I just then couldn't act like... And she basically details how she tries to fit in with guys that she dates and lies about being interested in something until, of course, she can't lie anymore and it falls apart. Again, without going fully into the article, she basically, trashes 9/11 truth and conspiracy theorists, and you're all nuts and you're all stupid. She tells her story. It's like, well, actually, maybe if you weren't such a fake, you wouldn't get into these situations in the first place. So check those links, 911blogger.com, marieclaire.com, desperately seeking approval from 9/11 truther. CNN covered new nuclear plants to protect against jet strikes, which is always funny again. That's not funny. That's a bad choice of words. It's always interesting, the idea of planes as weapons. And when we did or did not think that that could possibly be a weapon. So CNN covers that, again, thanks to InfoWars. Wikinews, always a good critic of the cult of Scientology. Church of Scientology blames the attack on Pearl Harbor and 9/11 on psychiatry. November 7th is the date set for the groundbreaking for the Flight 93 Memorial, hoodwinked in Shanksville. That link is to post-gazette.com. Again, all out of Pennsylvania there. William Rodriguez, finally vindicated by newly released 9/11 commission notes. That's from 911blogger.com with the PDFs of his notes. And we haven't had time to really go into all those new notes that have been released from the so-called 9/11 commission. Finally, on the 9/11 updates, this from House.gov. The House passed a $70 million bill for 9/11 health care. So hopefully first responders can actually get the treatment they need and deserve and must have. Police State International. It's ugly. Here we go. Mississippi passes law protecting gun owners during martial law. Drug busts target San Diego military housing. That's from military.com. Army suicides in January outnumbered combat deaths. That's from alternate, or rather, yes, from alternate.org on their health and wellness site. That's huge. More suicides than actual deaths in the Army in July. Another Scientology note, Scientology Project raises questions and ire in Wyoming. That's from the Associated Press. New RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, policy says that tasers can kill and restricts their use. Metronews.ca. Hey kids, want to play Security Checkpoint? This interesting article from FeministPeaceNetwork.org goes over, I believe, basically the indoctrination to the police state checkpoint system in general, but in particular goes into Playmobil toys where the guys, it's all TSA scanning. That's what you do when you play with your little men. Oh, I'll scan you. You're a terrorist. No, I'm not. Army to work with 10 New York area schools. That's from armytimes.com. There's an audio clip from dailynewscaster.com. Source reveals that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Stupidity are preparing for mass graves and martial law near Chicago. Approach with caution. Blackwater hides behind new, inscrutable, and opaque name, Z. That's right, Blackwater changing its coat, changing their name to Z, and it's spelled X-E. Means nothing, stands for nothing. It's just a smokescreen, Z. So whether Wackenhut is now the Geo Group, or Philip Morris is now Altria, or the Russell Trust is Skull and Bones, or Lucifer Trust is the Lucius Trust. Doesn't matter. We know what you are, and we're going to call you out. TimesOnline.co.uk, ex-spy chief says UK turned into police state. Government accused of exploiting terrorism fear. That's from The Guardian. Bad news from America's top spy. That's from truthdig.com. Federal agency aided Maryland spying. From the Washington Post, of course, we covered that story of the infiltration and massively illegal spying of peaceful, anti-war, and otherwise dissidents in Maryland. Symposium plan to discuss the implementation of nationwide mileage-based taxing system. Of course, we're getting ahead of the gang on that here in Oregon. Of course, our governor, Kulongoski, he's all about tracking your mileage with a global positioning system. So you can pay your carbon tax to the international banksters on this whole fraudulent, gangrene dissension. Symposium plan to discuss implementation of nationwide mileage-based taxing system. This from justgetthere.us, a new site. I dig it. Check them out. Justgetthere.us. New Navy-funded report warns of war robots going Terminator. That's from dailytech.com. Student arrested for texting. TheSmokingGun.com. You can see the police report. Boy Scouts partner with Homeland Stupidity. That's from scouting.org. Many of these are just press releases from the horse's mouth. Yes, the Boy Scouts are getting in bed with Homeland Security. Yes, we illegally spied on you. Yes, we're going to track and trace your every move. Here's our press release. We're telling you about it. You will tacitly give your approval. You maybe even beg for it. Pubs must install CCTV or risk losing their licenses, from the Daily Mail. Two on WikiLeaks, forced to leak its own secret info. And the other one is that they do have the documents. What they don't have is the cash. Threat level following the story on the struggling but important website where anyone in any field can leak important documents to the public anonymously. WikiLeaks.org. There was another clip. Ron Paul says Congress has lost control to outside interests. There's a PDF, a scholarly paper, warning against adverse health effects from the operation of digital broadcast television. Bill proposes ISPs keep logs for the police. That's from CNET News. U.S. Northern Command fearmonger. That's from Danger Room. Texans unknowingly donate children's blood to research. That's from the Austin American Statesman. And that's been going on for a long time. They take your blood. It's in the database. SAIC, Science Applications International Corporation, one of the big private military contractors. They were awarded a $115 million contract to support tactical biometrics systems. U.S. Army to buy $6 million worth of riot equipment. Tennessee sovereignty resolution has been posted by 10thAmendmentCenter.com. And I believe we're going to see very much states rediscovering the 10th Amendment again as we get antsy and as they want to rile us up. So that's why they start to talk about, restrict guns, we might have to take your guns, we might have to do this. You're not, it's going to get me angry, I'm going to get my guns. They want you to go get your guns. And then they can justify the crackdown, smackdown. So, Tennessee Sovereignty Resolution from 10thAmendmentCenter.com. And finally, on the Police State International tip, Democrats introduce public national service bills. That's from Steve Watson. And, again, as soon as this latest Congress kicked off, all the ridiculous fascist legislation started to pour out. Moving forward, battling forward, under the EnviroHealth heading, Splenda study shows shocking info about potential harmful effects. That's from organicconsumers.org. A video from Yahoo, as well as I believe NBC4i, parents in a small Oregon town refuse to immunize their kids, and an article about how more parents are refusing vaccines for their kids, even, of course, lying about having religious objections to it just to opt out, even though, of course, there's no law that says you have to take a vaccination. the policy. Climate study says bleak outlook for the Pacific Northwest. That's from the Olympian.com. Another video, another reference to Oregon. When the old peanut execs were getting grilled and pleading the fifth, one of our reps from here in Oregon asks the peanut execs to eat their own products. Monsanto is putting normal seeds out of reach. From globalresearch.ca, Doomsday Seed Vault's stores are growing. From Raw Story, of course, they're hiding the seeds away. Meanwhile, poisoning the well with their phony abomination Terminator killer. Yeah. Iraq vets blame KBR for illnesses. That's from the Houston Chronicle. Former astronaut speaks out on global warming. That's from the Boston Herald. A strange video, false miracles, signs and wonders in Russia. Is this Bluebeam? Is this HARP? Is this a fake hoax video? Check it out and see the bizarre figures and crosses and things in a strange aurora-looking sky. Finally, another video, another disturbing death. This from WSBTV.com. A groundbreaking cancer researcher found murdered. And that's something I haven't spent any time looking into, and that's, of course, the deaths of a lot of folks high up in groundbreaking experimental biochemical research. But that touches on the whole larger thing. And whole reference, again, we've said it, it's been said many times, the analogy works, that's why we look at media. That's why films are great to sort of explain. They're great analogies from Goodfellas, even after they pull off the big Lufthansa heist, starts to get a little hot, you whack your own guys. They do the grunt work, you whack them later. They're the ones who know how the shit works. And again, so you basically think, oh, well, I'll keep my mouth shut, I'll get by, or I'll even play along, I'll even help. But let's move on. A few quick things under media memes. Bader-Meinhof, of course, the Bader-Meinhof complex was one of the films up for Best Foreign Film at the Oscars last week. An article on that film and historical mystery from Time Magazine, the Bader-Meinhof Complex, action hit, Oscar hopeful. Documentary sheds light on the Elgin 17. That's from Northwest Florida Daily News, nwfdailynews.com documentary. And again, an interesting history mystery story, the Elgin 17. An article from Robert Perry, U.S. Media and Democracy in Crisis. And then from worldtribune.com, I believe as well from Accuracy in Media, Global Elite Consider TV Network to Tell Us Who We Are. I don't know if that means who you are, or who they are, or who us is. Global Elite Consider TV Network to Tell Us Who We Are. Again, the propaganda, the memes, pushing more and more and more. A few history mystery notes. Queen escaped Australian train assassination plot, top cop says. And that's originally from the AFP. The very first CIA assassination, that's from Alex Constantine. DailyMail.co.uk has the disturbing story of the Nazis developing thalidomide and testing it on concentration camp prisoners. The many layers of Leonard Peltier's case, that's from McClatchy. And then finally, another one from alexconstantine.blogspot.com, Alfred P. Sloan, Nazi collaborator. Of course, you hear him before many of your favorite shows on National Petroleum Radio. And it's another foundation-funded op where the early gold, oil, and drugs, gangsters and elites, them, the superclass, the bloodlines, call them what you will, They got rich on the world's resources many centuries ago. They set up many front groups and foundations. But I won't go into the phony foundation funding right now, because we've got the last subheading here on the massive news purge, geopolitics. UN moves to charge Israel with war crimes. That's from Press TV. Towards fascist rule in Israel. That's from Global Research. Kyrgyz president says that money is behind the Manas military base closing. That's from military.com. Latvia's government collapses. From the International Herald Tribune. The drone war escalates. 30 more dead in Pakistan. That's from Danger Room. More from Global Research. Destabilizing Pakistan, America plays with fire. Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, of course the one who also announced to the world the death of Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk. She kind of let it slip that the drones, the U.S. drones that are hitting Pakistan and killing innocent people, they're actually being launched from Pakistan. That didn't go over well when she... Pakistan partners with U.S. on killer drone strikes. That's more from Danger Room. Google Earth shows the U.S. drones at the Pakistani base. Again from Danger Room. Ahmadinejad calls for a New World Order. You knew that was coming. A video and an article from Raw Story and Raw Replay. UCLA professor thinks that he's found Osama bin Laden. Existentialist cowboy goes into religion under a false flag. And finally, under the geopolitics heading, Norway returns to a pillaged-based economy.
Norway returns to a pillage-based economy. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Norwegian Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg announced plans today for his nation's return to a pillage-based economy. Speaking today from the capital city of Oslo, Stoltenberg said the current global financial panic has inspired his people to once again return to the sea and blow the horn of war.
In all the
we will take all the plunder we can. I will make my home out of big-screen TVs.
Stoltenberg added that Norway's first order of business will be to carry the highly prized French education system home to its shores. Joel Redland for the Onion Radio News.
Ah, thank you, Onion. If we didn't laugh at a little bit of this, I would lose it. And of course, the Onion's satire is dead on. So that does it for that massive news purge. And again, there are a lot of important stories that I'm literally glossing over because they're just posted up as headlines. Please go check it out. Please go spread the word, not only about those stories and things that are most important and interesting and urgent to you and your time and place and community. Tell somebody about MediaMonarchy.com. So that's going to do it for this B-side of episode 112 of MediaMonarchy.com. Of course, episode 113 coming right up. Until then, and until we meet again, my name's James Evan Pilato, host and webmaster, MediaMonarchy.com. Like my man, Webster Tarpley says, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
I mean, so it's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Out on my breath.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.